body, but I was trying to get it on the ice.
You got it. All right.
The other day I was watching television, and on television they were doing the oldie shows, and my favorite came on, Candid Camera. Now, the old ones. I like the new ones, too. But Alan Funt, they never go out of style. They never do. We understand what's happening in those skits, and we will forevermore, because we can find ourselves in those skits, if you will. This particular skit was in a store, 1950s, whenever those days. And what happened in the skit is that there was an undercover Candid Camera person, as usual, and the undercover Candid Camera person taped a $50 bill to the bottom of his shoe. Now, it wasn't just regular tape. I don't know if they had, you know, types of tape that we might have today, but probably put a thumbtack in it and enough tape so that most of the $50 bill was hanging out from the underneath the shoe of the undercover person, and just started walking around to see how people would respond. People haven't changed much since the 1950s, I guess is what I discovered. The response was varied, but here's a few of the things I observed. One person attempted to walk behind in the same stride, hoping that could get just close enough to step on it so that the person would keep walking, and cha-ching, you'd have $50. Couldn't do it, though, because, of course, the person who was undercover knew that somebody was back there, and the cadence would change up a little bit, and that person finally gave up. Another person started zigzagging through the store, and the person who was the Candid Camera person went straight, and the zigzagger each time tried to stomp on it and catch it. That didn't work either. Another person came up to him, and he had an accomplice. This was pretty cool. He stopped the man, and he was acting like he was asking for directions and such, and his accomplice from behind him got close and tried to put his foot, and he actually stepped on the $50 bill, and when the guy was done asking the questions that he really didn't need to ask, he thanked him, and the Candid Camera guy walked away, and again, the tape was so strong that it slipped underneath his shoes. My favorite of all, though, I could not believe this one. It was a person who was chewing gum, and he got it moist, and he walked in front of him, and he dropped it, hoping that the man would step on it and release the $50 bill. It didn't work the first time. And the grossest part about that is he peeled it off the tile, put it back in his mouth. He got it wet again, and he kept dropping it. It didn't work. These examples, they're funny, but it speaks about our broken humanity. And we all can relate to this. It's just what St. Paul says this morning in Romans, huh? Why do the things we do? Why? He says, I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. You, great, Charlene, you did great with that this morning. It's a tongue twister. And you nailed it. You nailed it. And we all understand this reading. St. Paul is saying, admit it. Admit it. You think about trapping that $50 bill under your shoe as well. Or whatever the situation might be. And when we're in denial about our sinfulness, here's the law. Here's the law. When we're in denial, we say things like, I never had a person say this to me walking out, but after the service, the family walks out and says, that was a great sermon on sin, Pastor. Great sermon. I felt like you were speaking directly to the person two pews in front of me. Everybody's looking two pews back now. What are you going to say to me, huh? Really? The law, it does convict us. None of us can completely fulfill the law, fulfill the commandments, though we try. And since we cannot fulfill the law without fault, we turn, hopefully, to the one who completes us. And that's Jesus our Lord. I love the way that reading from Romans concludes today, because Paul throws his hands up, knowing the answer, though, throws his hands up and says, where am I to turn? I know where I'll turn. I'll turn to the one who frees me from those things that bury me, who frees me from those things that discovers my guilt, who frees me from those times in which I hit the dead end. I don't know the right way to get out of what I've gotten myself into. I will rely on the grace and forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the gospel, Jesus wants to talk about yokes in connection with all of this. You know, the use of yokes in Jesus' day, this is quite a natural figure of speech for Jesus. He was a carpenter turned teacher, if you will, and he would have known all about fine cabinetry. Have you seen some of Pastor Scott's creations with woodwork? We got a carpenter on our hands here with Pastor Scott. Fine, fine work. Jesus would have known with the word that is given concerning his earthly father, Joseph, more of the finer things. But they would have known about yokes too, because they depended upon the yokes. And with the yoke, you would want to make sure it was as less burdensome as possible on the shoulders of the cattle, your cattle, who you hope to use for years. I don't know. Joseph's Carpenter Shop. Do you think it had a name? Easy Yoke, maybe. My yoke is easy, Jesus says. Easy. I doubt they had names of the shops. It could be Easy Yoke. And we say, how could it be easy? This is hard work. Jesus chose something that we all knew was difficult, that we all knew this hurt. This was painful. This was something in which, at the end of the day, all you're concerned about is rest. We equate hard work with this word yoke, the burden on the shoulders, the weight of the instrument. And the idea of yoke around our neck, having one, it's not too appealing. Pastors, oftentimes we wear stoles or yokes around our neck. Some days, the feeling of that yoke around the neck. But you too, as part of the priesthood of all believers, you a minister, you know what it means to be yoked to this life, what it means to be yoked to those things which has no ending to the day, it seems. And Jesus wants to talk about another type of yoke. As Christ knows what you are yoked to this day, Christ talks about something which we all can relate to. The yoke's purpose, when we consider the yoke's purpose of being yoked together, we understand the beauty of this image. Jesus is calling those who are trying to step on that $50 bill, if you will. Jesus is calling us when we're weary. Those are the words that Jesus uses. Jesus says, how are you burdened today? And we all have an answer for us, for our country, for our world. Jesus calls us because he knows that, as Luther said, we're so turned in on ourselves much of the time. What is it like to be yoked to that which gives life? What is it to be yoked to everlasting peace? And the people in Jesus' day, I can only imagine the hard lives they had to live, how they must have said, yeah, what would that be like? And we in our lives today, with what we encounter, and some are yoked with more things in life than others, in which we don't even want to mention at times. And we see, how can I escape this yoke? I admit it, the idea of placing a yoke on my shoulder, it sounds like adding more affliction to the afflicted. And that's why Jesus uses an example where we say, oh, we know where this is going. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't. No, you don't. You think you know where this analogy is going. Jesus is like no other with the peace, with the newness, with the forgiveness, with the acceptance, with the welcome, with the grace that only God can give. Because when we listen to what Jesus says, don't forget that one word that's so simple here. He says, my yoke. It's so easy to read right past that. I wish in the Greek there was a way when we're translating from Greek to English, if the writer would originally written it and underlined it and circled it and everything, there's no exclamation marks, there's no periods, there's no question marks. It's up to us later to say, how would Jesus have said this? And I think Jesus would have emphasized, take my yoke upon you. Because you know about all the other kinds of so-called promises. You know about the so-called remedies to a peaceful life. You know about the tricks that are out there. You know about all the ways in which we are tried to be hounded into something which is not reality. Jesus says, I welcome you to my yoke, to the rest that I can give. Jesus is saying, you and I are under a yoke which makes us weary. We know all about falling short of the glory of God. We know all about trusting in ourselves before trusting in God. We know all about the heaviness of this life, of having to supposedly get it all right in order to be accepted. And then we hear the gospel. As the law condemns in that we cannot fulfill it, we hear the gospel. Jesus tells us, take my yoke now. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says. There's lots of voices out there telling us, listen to me, listen to me. Learn from me. And when we say, when we learn from you, Jesus, what do we learn about God? And Jesus says, I'm gentle. And don't read past that either. I am gentle. The word for God in Greek is I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, the life. And today I am gentle, humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I heard the story once of a man who was in another store. It was a Canon camera, I swear. He was in the store and he was shopping, and as he was there, a stranger walked up to the man and said, "How's your father doing?" Well, the two exchanged pleasantries, and finally the man admitted to the stranger, "I don't think I know you, do I?" And the stranger said, "No, I know your father. But you and I, we've never met." Seeing the confusion, the stranger laughed out loud. And he said, "One look at you, and I knew you had to be the son of my old friend. You look like him. Your posture and your gestures are the same as his. You talk the same way. Knowing him so well," he said, "I automatically knew you." Jesus reveals the Father to those who have never seen him. Because knowing Jesus, knowing his heart, knowing his mind, these are perfect expressions of God's love, of God's truth. Though you and I have never seen God the Father, as we see Jesus, we see the Father. And when Jesus says his yoke is easy, we trust that God has the best intentions for you and me. Taking his yoke, it doesn't mean holding on to the things of this life that weigh us down. Things we know all so certain about unforgiveness, about bitterness, about shame. No, it's right opposite. Taking Christ's yoke gives us freedom from these things as we humble ourselves before God. And we say, indeed, we have found rest for our souls in Jesus Christ. Amen.